I tell you what, we're living in a time, boys or girls, you better look them over real good before you settle in on one. And half of the marriages in America is winding up in a divorce course, and I hear something sad. The leadership of our community, one, I'll not specify the kind of judge, but one judge has a reputation of being a homosexual right here in Pine Bluff. Another judge, a very popular judge, not just a little judge, a pretty good sized judge, he left his wife just some time ago and married his secretary. The sheriff left his wife and married a young Jane. I mean, this is our leadership. I'm not lying. I'm not trying to cause trouble. And they're all church members. All right. And he's not even supposed to believe in divorce because he's Catholic. And but this is what we're up against, folks. Leadership of our community. And it laps over in the churches. Now, if there was a time we need to get a hold of God, it's now. I'm criticized sometimes for talking plain, but I think I'd tell Judge Williams or Goldberg or the rest of them, I think I'd tell them exactly what I think. Because how can we expect society to live right when leadership don't live right? And the same thing happens inside the churches. Folks, we need a big hold on God. I think we need some fasting. I want someone to fast tomorrow. One person. All right? Savior. I want someone that'll fast Friday. Alright, Saturday? Alright, Sunday? Sunday's a bad day. I'm going to go to Sunday. Alright. How about Monday? Is that just as good with you? Alright. Tuesday? Alright, we'll go up to Wednesday. That's Tuesday? That you have Tuesday? Wednesday. Alright, we'll stop there. Pick it up again next week. Don't forget. Let's don't break this chain. Fast. Fast until all day. I mean, that's all day. And don't eat till breakfast next morning. That way there won't be no space times. Now, water, as far as I'm concerned, it's acceptable to drink water during a fast if you choose to. I've got reason to believe that Jesus drank water during his 40-day fast. I didn't notice this until just recently, but after 40 days, Jesus broke his fast and was afterward a hunger. Now, which can you do without the longest, water or food? You're messing up my sermon there, you know? All right. So it only stands to reason, had he not been drinking, had he left off water too, he would have been first thirsty and then choosing. Now, it's all right on a limited basis, a day, 2 days, maybe even 3 days, if you choose to leave off water. But we must be sensible about our religion.
That's right.
I mean, people have died of thirst and saying it was for the Lord. God does not want us to make that kind of sacrifices. He made the supreme sacrifice. It was Brother Abel who said, over and over, Brother Abel would say, I'd be willing to die if it would mean my wife and daughter's salvation. I said, God does not want you to die. He wants you to live for Him. Before I give you my scripture tonight from 2 Samuel, this I read to the church some time ago, but this is a letter of many years ago. The key to effective preaching is to be neither too loud nor too long. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
One is just as offensive as the other. I like for a person to get anointed and to preach and put his heart into it, but if you scream so loud that it annoys people, then your preaching is no good. Anyway, this said, neither too loud nor too long. And this was written by 18th century founder of Methodism, John Wesley. His view is contained in a handwritten letter of November 18th, 1765, and so forth. It came from a letter of the popular Methodist preacher John Wesley. Well, I don't want to either talk too loud or too long tonight, but I want to talk about a man called Absalom. A man called Absalom. He could have been a great man. He was close to David's heart. It was David's own son. He could have, if he'd have been patient, he could have had a place in the kingdom. Eventually, he would have been the leader. But some folks can't wait. Now, of course, I'll not go into the whole story, but Absalom met the servants of David. This is the 9th verse of the 18th chapter. And he rode upon a mule. I don't know whether the mule's name was Ruth or not. I love the innocence of my people. I'm glad none of you know what I'm talking about sometimes. You ever know a mule named Ruth? Mark, you never? That's what I thought. Well, I don't think this was Ruth. But it was a mule, huh? You're not as innocent as I thought you were. All right, so much for that. His head caught hold of the oak. I guess, you know, we hear it told his hair, beautiful long hair that he had, got fastened in the limbs. This part of the scripture says that his head got caught in the oak. I suppose he just ran up in a fork and left him hanging there. And the mule went away. Now, I heard a black preacher preaching on this on a tape, and he said that this phrase that people are using, young folks are using, especially the blacks nowadays, this is several years ago that this tape was made, he said the mule went right on. He said, so these folks saying right on. It's nothing new. It was said 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. Right on. The mule went right on and left him dangling. And, of course, he lost his life. And the cry of David was, oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, the loss of a loved one, though his son was a betrayer, he was a traitor. He tried everywhere in the world to have David overthrown and that he might take his place. But I just want to use that as a thought tonight from this standpoint. The church must keep on going. I mean, regardless of what the writer does, the church must keep on going. We must keep right on. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
We can't afford to stop. We got to keep moving on. Amen. Not calling the church a mule. That's not the idea. But as the mule went his way, so the church of God must progress, even though there is sometimes a falling away. And I worry about you, because when you see things happening, if you're not careful, you'll start blaming the church and say, what's wrong with the church? In some cases, we need a new preacher. Oh, God, help you not to get to thinking like that. I don't know what you'd do about it if you did. But just the same, of course, you could look for another one somewhere else. But you see, people get crazy ideas. They get to thinking because Absalom sinned and lost his life, that it's Yvonne's fault, or Marcel's fault, or Steve's fault, or Jackson's fault, or Rutledge's fault. It's the writer's fault. Amen. It's the writer's fault. It's Absalom's fault. It wasn't David's fault. It was not anyone in the kingdom's fault except Absalom. Amen. He's the writer. And when someone falls, I mean, they can blame the wife, they can blame the husband, they can blame the deacons, they can blame this, they can blame the organization, but it's the one that's riding the mule. It's the one that's careless. It's the one that goes under the oak. It's the one that doesn't duck. It's the one that doesn't take precaution.
Right.
I mean, we need strength. Spiritual strength.
Amen.
We need power. Spiritual power. You know, this race is not it's not won like a foot race. It's compared to a foot race by the Apostle Paul, but it's not a foot race. We are to run this race with patience, but it's not a foot race. We're to fight, but not as one that beateth the air. You know, I've had different ideas about that as one that beateth the air. I think it's just
what it says. But a fight like this, but that's not the way we fight.
Art, you're hung up on some of this other karate stuff, you know.
I can't even do that. I think I'm not afraid of those birds anyhow. They're not as good as they think they are.
Well, most of that's a lot of baloney to get you to send your kids to those schools to learn a lot of nothingness. And while they're trying to kick you, someone knocked their fool head off. There's not as much to it as people make it out to be. I'm telling you the honest truth. But we're not fighting like that. We're not kicking with our feet. We're not fighting with our hands. We're not cursing anybody out. Are we? I mean, a tongue lashing, it might make you feel better for the time being to tell somebody off, give them a piece of your mind. How many of you have been giving a piece of your mind to someone, you know? You better quit that. You give it all away and you'll be in bad shape. I haven't got any to spare, have you? All right. We must not try to win our battles by tongue fighting. I'm not talking about unknown tongues. It's them known tongues that gets us in trouble. Amen. All right. I'll not tell that story. But we must not, we can't win the victory like that. In fact, if you fight, you get further away from God. If you talk hateful and bless somebody out with your vocabulary, you get further from God. That's not the way. We must wade deep into the presence of God.
Amen.
We must see to it that we're holy. You know, temptation cannot get to us if we walk God as we should.
That's right.
I hear the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not in the way of temptation. What I'm trying to say tonight, let's don't let the church stop. Let's let it go. And let's stay on board. Amen. Let's go forward. I forget a dream that I had too often. Several years ago, we had some problems in the church. And every sermon, I was trying my best to correct the problems from the pulpit. And what I was saying was truth. But I was trying somehow to reach those that were failing, to reach those that were not doing right. And there wasn't but two or three of them that I was really spending my time trying to help and wound up losing every one of them. When people want to go wrong and do wrong, all the preaching in the world will not fix it. Now, you see, the Word says, the Word preached profiteth nothing, not being mixed with faith. I mean, it must be preached and it must be heard. I preach and I may just live the sensational feeling that comes with the anointing and enjoy that, but the faith must come from you, the hearers that are being preached to.
Amen.
And faith mixed with a preached word will bring results. But it's sad, folks, when so many people don't even hear the preached word, let alone mixing it with faith. It's like epoxy glue. You know, you can take either component, and it's nothing. Rosin, one of the components, it doesn't keep anything together. It's no good for a glue. But the rest of it, whatever it is, when you mix the rosin and the rest of it and stir it up, in 5 minutes you've got something hard as concrete almost, and it's pretty good for what it's intended for. Amen. That's the way the word priest. God must have preaching. We must have preachers. We must have preaching. But we need candidates that will have faith and mix this together with the priest's word and make you spiritual giants, and you can ward off the temptations that would come your way. And the church will go right on. Hallelujah. Let's love God a little while. Will you love Him? I want to show you a New Testament church as God would have it be. First of all, He would have a people that has turned from sin. I don't know. We've had a lap over from the world and from the church world. And there is a church world out there that people seem to think that they can live wrong and justify themselves for the wrongdoing and say that I still feel good in my heart and that I still pray and that I have not given up my faith. But did you know the Word of God teaches we're going to be judged by the deeds done in our bodies? Therefore, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. If you let your body be a beer guzzler, you can't call yourself saved. Or you might say it, but it's a lie. Did you know there is such a state of doing so wrong that God will give up on you? Give you up and turn you over to a reprobate mind. To believe a lie. So many people are believing that they're saved when they're just as lost as they can be. Because their fruits tells off on them. When they curse, when they lie, when they commit adultery, when they do the other things of sin, they might as well not say I'm a Christian because they're not a Christian. You say, Brother Rutledge, why on earth do you preach like this? Now I'll get back to what I dreamed about. I dreamed one evening while I was asleep that I was talking with the Lord. And the Lord said to me, why are you making 97% of the people endure the lashing that you're giving those three? Why are you making them have to listen when there's 97 that are living right and three that are doing wrong? And you're whipping the 97 every Sunday night. I dreamed this. It changed the course of my ministry. But every once in a while I forget. Because you have the weight bearing down on the shoulder. Don't you think that a pastor and a preacher don't worry when things go wrong?
Right.
Never get in your mind but what there's some sleepless nights and there's some bad feelings when people just turn their back on God. I don't look at it as losing another tithe there. God's always made a way for us.
Yes,
for 43 years, God has made a way for us. And sometimes you don't know where it's coming from, but it comes in anyhow. God's on the throne. He's a good God. Hallelujah. So I don't look at it. When I gave your soul to the church, you've never heard me say or even hint, I've given you another tithe there. I don't look at it like that. I don't measure you for the amount of money you give. The ones that pay $2 a week, as far as I'm concerned, if that's their faithfulness, they're just as big and just as great as
the ones that pay
$50 a week.
That's right. That's good.
Praise God. I want to always look at it that way. I want you to know, saints of God, I appreciate you that are faithful. I appreciate you that are sincere. I appreciate you that love the Word. And if you love the Word and live the life, I want you to know the church keeps going on. They holler man overboard and they try for a little while. But then let the ship go on. You look back, he's not there anymore. Maybe he's there, but you don't see him. Go on and time will take care of it. You kind of forget it. It's just a story in your memory. Oh, I'm telling you folks, don't let some of the things that have happened cause you yourself to take out. Because somebody else is
around me. No need of you jumping over me.
Right.
Yeah. Because somebody else feels up. No need
come
of
on.
You in this world. He did. He went for a little while. He got the news. No, that son has been against him. He wept. He cried. He said, "My son, my son." And no doubt he thought about the things that could have been. Sometimes I preach a message along that line, the things that could have been. But we must get off of that pretty soon. David, don't weep forever. David, you must not continue on weeping and crying. Go on and give us some good psalms, which he did. Get your harp out and sing. Praise God. Do that dance all over again. Amen. Get close enough to God to where you can dance for joy. You don't just dance to music, you dance for joy. The world can dance to music, but the church dances for joy. Hallelujah. You say, in order to get it, we dance because we already have it. Hallelujah. Somebody said, now, are you sure? They said, look at your toy scripture in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Is that because you've already got it or because you're going to get it or you are getting it? Well, just be sensible. Water baptism in Jesus' name would not remit our sins if it hadn't been the blood of Jesus Christ offered beforehand. So sure, it goes back and it goes present. We do the act, but it's because of His blood that we have remission of sins. Nobody's ever had his sins taken away because he is washed in water, because he is baptized in Jesus' name, taking on the blood of Jesus Christ that makes a man as white as snow. Hallelujah. Well, you know, if you want to just some mules, some horses, you know, the rider falls off or gets hung in a tree, immediately some horses will stop, mules, and turn around and come back to the rider. I've ridden horses that I've fallen off. I remember one day I riding a horse down a dirt road just as fast as I could make him run. And for some crazy reason, he decided to jump a road ditch with me. And his legs wasn't long enough. He didn't quite make it across. And his front feet went down in the ditch, and he turned the flip-flop, and I was somewhere down in the ditch, and his feet were striking all over me. His wonder hadn't killed me. But he got up, run out in the field a little ways, and I got up all wet, and he turned around, came right back to me, and nodding his head at me, you know. I got on him, and away we went again, you know. But I'm comparing this to the church now, to you. You're the church. It's not this building. It's not the organization. It's you. We've got to keep going. And so the rider falls off, at least one does. But we're interested. We're praying. But we've got to go right on. There's other souls. There's other accomplishments. You know, some people, some sinner people, some worldly people, some slothful people, some backslidden people feel like they deserve all the attention. I mean, they'll do anything in the world to get attention. But God don't want us to just give all of our attention to those that will not go on. I mean, God's looking for someone that'll get on board a moving church. Somebody that has no intention of going back. Somebody, if they make the least little mistake, they're driven to their knees. They're under conviction. Praise God. I've always had strong convictions. There's things I won't look at. There's things I won't listen to. There's things I won't be a part of. I will not play a game that has to do anything with cards. I never have. I never will. Cards have never been in our house except one time, and Brenda slipped them in. And I called her, and we had a... she got rid of them. Amen. That's when she was a little girl and learning to play pitch. And then that's a step up to poker. I know some of you got them. I'm well aware of that. But I'm telling you about how I feel. I don't want anything that points back to the world and my home.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to go far enough to say, I was in a church some time ago that was trying to stomp the devil.
Yeah.
And they went through all kinds of maneuvers. They stomped him on the pulpit. They got out in the aisles and they stomped him. They got everybody that would to stomp. There's about 800 stomping the devil. They decided to go out on the parking lot and stomp the devil. Biggest show I've seen in a long time. And I told Pidge, I said, let's get out of here before they call the cops. Because porch lights is going on all over the place. I mean, people wonder what. You can imagine 600 or 800 people out on the parking lot stomping the devil. And get happy about it. Now, we can be silly. And that's silly. Now, if I thought he was down there, and I could stomp him, I'd be ready to start, but I'll tell you how you stomp him. Just get full of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Get the joy of the Lord in you. Then stop the stomp of him with your foot. That's silly.
Yeah.
Amen. But, we got out of there. Sure enough, the police came up just as we was leaving, rode up on a motorcycle. And he looked around a while and he called headquarters and he said, all I can figure out is these Pentecostals got tired of worshiping inside and he came outside. But I'll tell you what I am convinced of. If I knew what it is that's causing so many to go astray, if I knew what it is to cause so many to be slothful, if I knew what it is that's keeping people from worshiping God, if I knew what it is that's keeping people from clapping their hands Pentecostal fashion, if I knew what it is that keeps people from praying and seeking God with all the heart, let me just name some things. If it's television, then I'd start saying, let's stomp the devil. Let's shoot the thing. If that's the cause of all this adultery, but however, David didn't have one. So I don't really think that's the cause of all of it. Now, if you want to sit home and watch soapbox stories, and I found out General Hospital may not be just on television. I think it's located in Jefferson County, called Regional Medical Center.
Amen.
All right. You'll understand it better by and by. But I'm telling you the truth. If I could pinpoint where he is, and I could get rid of him by stomping the television, I'd stomp it. Every one of yours, I think I'd just invade your house and we'd get rid of it. We just, if I get rid of the devil, I'm all for it. But as well as I stand here, I know the seed of the devil is not necessarily in a television set. It's in the heart of
that right.
Right in here, where people don't live for God, when they've got something in here, they committed adultery and rape and murder and all these sins before there was ever thought of a television set. So you can't blame it all together on that. But there's something wrong in the heart of people that makes them want to say the wrong kind of words.
Yeah.
Now go on,
that's right.
Right. Well, then go to video. If video, watching church services on video, if that would cause people to be lost, then I'd say, let's sell that thing and run it. If that's where he is, let's stop it. But you know and I know that that's not wrong. Now, there's plenty of wrong involved in video. If you want to go rent some lewd, nasty films and watch them, there's plenty of wrong involved in that. But there's also church services and other things that are available that'll lift you up.
Right.
However, not too many people want to see church services.
That's right.
Boy, you can turn. Well, they'll listen to the singing. It's just like a audio tape. You can turn on singing, or you can get on the radio and play 15 minutes of singing and 15 minutes of preaching. And I watched them when I was on. I think I'm pretty good preaching.
Amen.
At times. But I've watched them sit there and listen to the singing. And the minute the preaching starts in, they got to go. Sometimes saints. But I'm telling you, we better let the church go right on.
Hallelujah.
It's more necessary to have Bible preaching than it is to have gospel singing.
Hallelujah.
We need it, folks. We need it. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If we can find what's wrong, let's stop with it.
is a stitch. His position was not more efficient. His ball was not more ball. I'm just saying, here, you know what, over here, any of these things is what? I think what ball is cold heart. That's right. It's dead here. It's cold hands. It's dead
feet.
Amen. That's folks that won't bow down their knees to the Lord and worship Him. Pentecostal ceremony. Oh, God, help us to get away from three songs and a little prayer and two or three testimonies and a sermonette and go home. Help us to come into the house of God praising, glorifying, honoring. You talk about stomping the devil. If we'll worship Him, if we'll praise Him, if we'll love Him, it'll swallow up Anderson Fishing. I'm talking about overly interest. It'll swallow up interest in television, the things that you should not be absorbing. It'll swallow up interest in your ball games that would interfere with the house of God. And someone, just as sure as I stand here, someone will go home and say, Brother Rudd, preach against ball games, preach against television, preach against video, preach against this. I am not. I'm saying, oh God, if that was it, I'd say vote it out, stomp it out, get rid of it. But I know that's not it. It's people that won't praise. It's people that won't glorify. It's people that won't bend their knee. It's people that won't lift their hands. This is what we need, folks, someone that'll worship God and live for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, that's
good. We got all I know, that's it. If Absalom is sitting in the gate, leave him there. Then let the church go right on. If there's trouble, leave it behind. Let the church go on. I want to be a part of the church.
Let's
love God a little while, will we? Tell you this, the church did much more than get started to things like Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, and they both died. Judgment came upon them. I told someone today, I guess it's a good thing that I'm not God. All these people committing adultery and fornication, I'd give every one of them AIDS. If I was God. You understand what I'm saying?
Man.
I mean, that's just how much I hate sin. I want to tell all you young people something. There's nothing as terrible as fornication. Not a sin in the world is bad as fornication. Maybe I better tell some grandpas and grandmas that too. If you were guilty of these things and you've been forgiven, you ought to thank God that I am a child of God and been cleaned through the blood. But there's nothing that you can do as bad as fornication.
Thank you.
But listen, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost and they died, you think that stopped the church? Church went right on. Fear came upon all the church.
It moved them closer to God. Closer to God. Amen. Let's gather around the front and let's all pray, will you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Help us.
Yes, Lord. God, if you'll break the chains that the devil may have, Lord, hallelujah.